Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Stuart Overman, president and founder of Overman Law Firm. I am very fortunate in that I have the opportunity to work with dental practice owners and members of the dental community throughout the country. And it really truly is an honor. And it's a great pleasure that we have the opportunity to do this podcast today to assist the dental industry in different areas regarding practice management and also as well as clinical aspects. And our podcast interview today is with Fortune Management, which is a national practice management coaching company that has an unbelievable reputation and just does a fantastic job in the industry. And they've been doing this for healthcare practices for 25 years. And I've had the great pleasure of working closely with the Atlanta Fortune Management team, especially in the services of dental practices. And I really recognize their commitment level to serving the dentists and with their teams at a very, very high level. And it's with great, great pleasure today that I have the privilege and honor to speak with Bernie Stoltz, who is the co-founder and CEO of Fortune, joining us today. And Bernie, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Stuart. I'm talking to you from the left coast today out in California. And I also want to acknowledge you before we get going, just because I know you do a lot of great work in the legal side of the dental profession with mergers and acquisitions and all the things that it takes to really help a dentist to grow. You know, one of the things that we have prided ourselves on for 26 years now across the country is to make sure that our dentists know that, you know, there's the clinical aspects of their success, but of the business side of their success. And, you know, there's one of the key things is not just growing a dental practice organically, but also huge opportunities in the areas of mergers and acquisitions and really helping them to be business owners and not just business operators. One of the biggest challenges that any professional can have, whether it be a dentist, an attorney, an MD, architect, CPA, doesn't matter, but unless they can find a way to not just trade time for dollars, then all they'll really have is a well-paid job, but it's still a job. And so one of the things that we stand for at Fortune is just to be an entrepreneurial source for our doctors around the country so that they can be more entrepreneurial. So I know you're doing great work with that, and it's a pleasure to be here today.
Thanks. And I'm always, always fascinated how successful companies start. How did Fortune Management start?
Great question. Well, it was, to be honest with you, it started with a predecessor practice management company that started back in the early 80s that was actually created by two practicing wet-fingered dentists, one in Tennessee and one in Reno, Nevada, who had a company that was purely practice management, not necessarily everything that we do today at Fortune Management, but it was Quest Ventures, and it was started by a couple dentists. And of course, I came from the business world. I did not have a dental background. I had actually created five other companies by the time I was about 32 years old. And at that point, my career intersected with Tony Robbins, who I'm sure you're well aware of. And Tony and I had done a lot of, started developing programs in the area of sales training and business coaching. And that was back, 25 years ago. And what happened was, is that these dentists actually had invited Tony to come do a firewalk weekend. And of all places, it was Atlanta. It was at the JW Marriott downtown Atlanta. And actually the original setting was, there was about 30 dentists and their wives, about 60 of them, came and went through a Tony Robbins firewalk experience right there in Atlanta. And after that, it became very, very clear that there was a really good fit between what Tony was doing on the area of personal development and leadership skills and what these dentists were doing on the practice management side. And so within the next 12 months, a whole new company, a whole new brand was created called Fortune Management. And really what the DNA of it today is still the same, which is to be give dentists the very best in the area of practice management, but also give them the ability to have the very best in personal development and communication skills and leadership skills. And of course, you know, one of my mantras has always been, listen, I don't care what kind of company it is. You don't grow a company, you don't grow a business, you grow people. And so we've just taken that, and over the last now 26 years, it's been the happiest 26 years of my life. I know that, but I think what I'm more proud of is just all the people's lives that we've been able to change and help. Fortune today is much, much different than it was at the beginning. We now have 4 divisions. Dentistry has always been our roots since the beginning. And in the dental side, we have at any given time 1,000 to 1,500 dental practices under our guidance and management and coaching. But we also have a successful plastic surgery division, a veterinary division, and an optometry division as well. And so now at this point, Fortune is probably the most total immersion postgraduate program that a dentist can take on anywhere in the world, from our accredited training universities to our executive coaching programs to our cloud-based monitoring and HR programs to our marketing programs to just a plethora of things. We've even got a financial planning division to it, and we've got a charitable division to it, a 501c charity status, and wow, an entrepreneurial think tank, and it just goes on and on. So exciting stuff. And it's really whatever that dentist needs from us, we go in that direction. But that's the beginning, and that's the current day for us, Stuart.
Now, there's been unprecedented change in the last 5 to 7 years in this industry. And what, if from what you see, and you got a good pulse on the industry, an unbelievable pulse, what are the major industry trends that dental practices need to be aware of today?
Yeah, very simple. I would say that there are 3 major forces at work that are creating change. First of all, obviously, there is the corporate side of dentistry today, the DSO, corporate DMSO mentality that goes on. And, you know, if you're really honest, over the last 10 years in this profession, that has been the only part of dentistry, the only sector of dentistry that has experienced double-digit growth year over year, like 10% a year. And, you know, what I explain to people in live audiences all over the country is you've got to put that in perspective. There, in the United States today, there's about $110 million a year spent on dental services. And corporate dentistry supplies about 35% of all of the dental care in America today. But what private practitioners can learn from that is that they supply it with just about 10% of the locations. So, you know, you sum that up, 10% of the locations supplying 1/3 of the dentistry in this country. So corporate dentistry is definitely causing a shift. And we'll maybe talk a little bit more about why that's happening. Another thing that has caused not just a shift in dentistry, but in all of business, and that's digital communication. The power of an iPhone today, the power of a consumer being able to communicate whether they had a great or terrible experience at their dental office. And so digital communication is huge, and it can work for you or against you if you learn how to use it. Mm-hmm. And then the third major shift, I think, is technology. And, you know, and one of the things that I make sure dentists know all over the country is, look, technology is going to do 2 great things. It makes the practice more profitable, but can also allow the dentist to deliver the care more affordably. So those are the 3 major shifts. And, you know, I can go on and on. There's a lot of nuances within those, but those are 3 huge ones that are creating shifts.
Now, are you seeing that in any regions or throughout the country?
No, that's nationwide. It doesn't matter. We, you know, that's the one value of, you know, one of the beauties of fortune management is we have practices from Maine to Honolulu, Hawaii, and it's pretty much universal.
Now, the question I have is that's you know three great things. And now, do these factors apply to dentists at various stages of ownership, whether it's startups, acquisitions, mid-career changes, ready-to-sale changes? I mean, can that be applied to any aspect in any stage?
Well, here's what I'd say. I'd say as long as a dentist is committed to continuing their career and they are treating their practice as an asset in their long-term investment portfolio, they have to be aware of these things. I don't think burying your head in the sand is an option. One of the things that I say today is that if you take all dental practices in the U.S., you can kind of categorize them into three different types, almost like housing market in this country. In other words, we know that there's new construction dental practices. These are de novo practices that are being built brand new with all of the 3D technology, you know, with things like CEREC and Galileos and just built for the future. We also know that there is a group of practitioners and practices out there that I would call fixer-uppers. These are the practices that were state-of-the-art and beautiful 20 years ago. But just like a house that was built 20 years ago, have we remodeled the kitchens and the baths? Have we updated it with new technology? And then the third type of practice that's out there is what we would call teardowns. And just like there's teardown housing where the only thing left of intrinsic value is the lot value, you've got about 5,000 practices out there across the country who the only intrinsic value left is the patient base and hopefully the dentist's reputation. And we've got different strategies to handle each one of those situations. But I think the first key is awareness for that dentist to understand where they're at and where they want to go. I mean, that's the beauty of us as a coaching organization is we're not going to put our expectations on any dentist. They've got to decide what the next, you know, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years are going to look like. And obviously that's going to be predicated on not just what their vision is, but also what their financial needs are as well. I don't think it's an option unless they're just going to do a catch walkaway sale in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be attuned to the changing market.
You know, we mentioned patients, you know, patients' expectations are higher now than they've ever been. And how does that affect the dentist relationship now with their patients? I mean, service has got to be such unbelievably expected now. What are you seeing in that area?
Well, I think what I tell every dentist and every team around the country is, first of all, understand what your consumer wants. What a new dental patient wants today is very simple. They want better dentistry. They want faster dentistry. They want more affordable dentistry. And even to a little lesser degree, they want safer dentistry. So one of the things I just gave in a speech a couple months ago to a group of all CEOs, and I was taking some Q&A at the end, and they said, if you were going to be one of the greatest CEOs running one of the greatest companies in the world, what advice would you give them? I said, oh, well, I can give you a lot. I go, but the number one thing I tell you is fall in love with your customer. So the number one piece of advice to a dentist today is fall in love with your patients. Now, what does that mean? That means that you understand the definition of success in business, which is find out what your customer wants, how they want it, and then fill the need quickly and elegantly. Now, new age thinking in dentistry today says that a dentist who truly, truly believes in that is going to have the guts to look through the lens of their patient and not continue to make business decisions through their own lens. Because you think about this, profession has been notorious for 25, 30 years, or maybe even since the inception of it, of really running a professional practice based on their own wants and needs. You know, like, just think about it. You know, originally it was, you know, typical dentist in this country worked 4 days a week. God forbid we should work Fridays because it's golf day. you know.
You're absolutely right.
Mean, we don't offer weekends. We don't offer evenings. You know, we don't want to take insurance. I mean, these are things that just are not going to fly in the profession anymore because the consumer expects more. And one of the reasons why, you know, those demands are not going to go away is because those demands are being met by corporate dentistry today. I mean, we know what the consumers want. We know in our last opinion poll that we took, and we did this in conjunction with our friends, our alliance partners at 1-800-DENTIST, who they take, they're the number one company in this profession that places potential new patients with dental practices around the country. We polled 10,000 incoming calls in their call center in Los Angeles, 10,000 people looking for a new dentist, and we wanted to know what were the top 10 criteria that a modern dental practice must meet if they're going to really take care of the demands of a new consumer. And here's some of the things. I won't get into all of them, but one of the things that's eye-opening that doctors need to understand as business owners, 86% of new patients polled expect them to be in-network with their insurance. 86%.
Wow.
Over 70% expect them to have a really, really good web. Over 70% of them expect to be able to rely on online reviews like Yelp and Google reviews. They want convenient hours. They want multi-specialty. They don't want to be referred out to specialists. They want it all under one roof. They want Saturday appointments. They want affordable financing available. They want it done quicker. They want one appointment dentistry. That's what Sarah can deliver to the consumer today. And they also want to know what emotional things a dental practice can give to them today. Things like, you know, in a modern general dental practice today, if we're on top of our game, we can show a consumer how to live longer, how to look better, how to feel better, and how to sleep better. So, you know, if we want a higher profitability to a practice, we've got to be able to focus on emotionally what the patients are willing to pay a lot more money for, and not just needs-based dentistry that the insurance will cover.
That's unbelievable statistics. That's unbelievable. And, you know, with that expectations, now what are the top things that dental teams need to focus on in order to exceed those patient expectations? I mean, what do they need to focus on?
If I'm any dental practice in America today, I would turn the lens on myself.
Yeah.
And I would say, okay, what are we doing to make sure that our patients perceive? And you got to remember something too. Perception is reality. This is another thing that has been a mistake over the decades is dentists will take an inordinate amount of continuing education on the clinical side. And that's fantastic. And I don't want to discount that because the reality of it is we know that if a dentist does not have good clinical skills and they have great communication skills, then they somewhat become a menace to their profession. But also for their own selves, we know that a dentist that doesn't have great clinical skills is going to be less inclined to diagnose fully. They're only going to diagnose to the level of their own clinical expertise. So I don't want to discount clinical. The challenge, though, is that the patients cannot really evaluate the clinical excellence of a dental practice. And so when we go back to those top 10 things they want, not one of the things that we could find was even remotely attached to clinical skill set. The only thing that we could find at all was that the consumer wants to make sure it's a sterile, clean environment. But their criteria for that is pretty interesting. It's whether the restrooms are clean and is there soap in the ladies' room. So pretty interesting. So I think what if they really, really want to focus on pleasing the patient, which at the end of the day is where the success in any business comes from, pleasing your customer, I think they got to take a look at what they will evaluate. The patient will evaluate technology. I mean, if they see that there is modern technology in that practice, that's a big plus. If they see a great website, that's a huge plus. If they have a team of people who are really, really good communicators, that's probably the number one plus. I think what practices need to focus on today is and these are the two things that corporate dentistry will never be able to compete against a private practitioner with if done right. Number one is a great reputation in the community. And number two, a really good team of communicators. That's what I think their go-to advantages are.
Well, you know what you just told me in all this. I mean, there you can take this and apply it to every practice area that Fortune Management works in. Am I right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we do is, first of all, when we take on any new dental practice or any dental practice in the country, first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we're acting as coaches and not as consultants. And the difference there, I'll take a phone call from any doctor anywhere in America, and I always ask five questions to start. Question number one is, where are you at right now? Second question is, how did you get there? Third question, most important one, which is, where do you want to go? What's your vision? Fourth question is, do you have a plan in place to get yourself there? And number five, would you like our help or how can we help? Now, the vision for a dentist, which is their destination, and really within that vision, there's a lot, right? There's a structural vision of how much volume they want to do, how much money they want to make, and what their standard of care is, and what's their team going to look like, what's their desired patient demographic going to look like, what's their facility going to look like. So there's a structural side to the vision. But I think it's also important that we get them to identify and take a stand for their philosophical side of their vision. Philosophical side meaning some of the things I said before. Are we willing to really, really be patient-centered? Are we willing to be great communicators so that we have a patient base filled with friends and not patients? Or do we have a team that is really a team of stakeholders and partners doing purposeful work versus a practice full of employees doing a job for a paycheck?
Yeah.
So those are philosophical visionary conversations that ownership and the doctors need to get clear on. And then what we do is we look at five different major engines, what we call our drivers or areas of a practice, one being the financial engine, one being the systems engine, one being the clinical and technology engine, one being the marketing engine, and one being the people engine. And, of course, I could go on in every one of those engines, but that's a global look at how we get a practice turned on so that, we're pretty proud of our track record, our year-over-year growth around the country. When somebody like Carol takes on a practice in Atlanta, our expectations are going to be that practice grows 30 to 60% year-over-year growth with a little formula that we use called exponential growth. And that's not a pipe dream. That's not a smoke and mirrors. Those are real numbers that can be achieved if you follow the science of achievement of a dental practice. So those are kind of some of the things. And again, I said one of those engines, the people engine. Well, if your listeners want to put any notes down on paper, write this down. All problems are created by people. So we are above and beyond anything else. We're in the maximization of human capital business. We're in the coaching business. We're in the personal development business.
I've taken so many notes, I feel like I can write a book. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's why you're recording it.
Unbelievable stuff. I got to go back and decipher my notes, and I'm going to probably take it back to my team and talk to them about it. And, Bray, I tell you, there are so many important messages that you conveyed. Is there anything else that you want to convey to the dental practices in these last closing seconds?
Well, I think a few things. Number one is you know, I think in any great organization, it requires great leaders with great beliefs. And what we talk a lot about is core values and core beliefs. And one of the things, if I was going to give anybody who's in business, in any kind of business, and by the way, you know, everything that we've talked about, Stuart, you and I, it applies not just to a dental practice. It applies to a law firm. It applies to an accounting firm. It applies to any business out there that has people as part of it, right? Which is pretty much all of them. But one of the things that I think it's been something that I've guided my life by, and I'm also, you know, tried to run this company by, and that is by a basic belief that says that you don't attract into your business and into your life what you want. You attract into your life and your business who you are. So it's about those practices being first. It's about them developing a great culture. And also believing that dentistry is not like certain other types of healthcare. It is more akin to a retail environment. It has to have a wow factor today to it. That's why we build practices in shopping malls and on Main Street and don't bury them on the fourth story of a professional building anymore. So it's a different experience today. It needs to be a different experience.
If anyone is listening to this and they say, you know what, I want to call Fortune Management, how do they get in touch with you?
I would just go to the website, keep it simple, fortunemgmt.com. They can click on wherever they're located in the country. It'll match them with one of our practice advisors. Obviously, in the greater Atlanta area, it's Carol Abbott and her team right there in Atlanta. But we're available in every time zone, all over the place. And, you know, and there's other things, too. I would certainly – I'm really proud of our website. We have a saying in our company, and that is if we teach it, we do it. If we don't do it, we don't teach it. So one of the things we teach every dental practice, they better have a darn good website. I'm really proud of our new mobile optimized website because doctors can go on there. They can download our podcast series, which I'm hoping that we get this one on our podcast series as well, Stuart. But they can go
That'd
to our podcast
fantastic.
Series. They've got all kinds of resources there that will show them the bandwidth of our national organization.
Well, I've taken so many notes that I can't wait to go back to my staff meeting and implement some of these changes. So extraordinary information, extraordinary culture, extraordinary things that you've done. I can't tell you what is we've never met, but it's been an honor to talk to you with this. And I certainly thank you for your time. And we look forward to definitely sharing this with our dental clients and the community. And thank you again for your time, Bernie.
Absolutely, my pleasure, and you keep doing the good things that you're doing as well, Stuart, so my best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.